Hello, everyone. I am Rafael Tamayo. You are listening to OC3 Frequencies, a podcast by the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. We are a division of the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture, and I am going to say very little because I am excited about today's episode, and I'm going to hand it off to our team to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Andrea Tostin, Cultural Programs Coordinator.
Hey, it's Iris Bechtel, Cultural Programs Coordinator, and today we are welcoming three fabulous artists, Milan Nguyen, Brent Ozeda, and Tara Wagoner. And they are about to open up a big show here at the Oak Cliff Cultural Center, the title of which is Just an Illusion. And these three artists are longtime collaborators. They've worked on several exhibitions, installations, and projects, including Super Fantasy Mercado and the Dallas Zine Fest. All of them are multiracial Asian Americans, woo-woo, whose artwork has been influenced or inspired by Japanese pop culture exports like manga and anime. Love it. Their work shares a foundation in printmaking and a focus on stylized illustration to communicate personal themes. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So to start, since this was in the opener, let's talk about, I mean, I think when I first met you guys, I met you all at the same time. Like, you were already a crew from the beginning. So can you kind of talk about each of you, like, working together, how you started working together?
We
literally worked together. Me and Tara met at going to work together because we worked together in our day job at a screen print shop, and that's where I met Taro. Then that's how I met Milan through Taro. I think that's when they started dating.
Started dating like maybe just a few months before,
right before I met Brent.
So I had a warehouse off of Maine that we were trying to start, like a little, I don't know, cool like art space, and we were having a show there, and I met Milan because she saw the flyer and thought like, hey, this looks cool, it'd be tight to like put my work in that show. And so she emailed me, and I rejected her in the email, because I looked up her stuff immediately and I was like, she's so good, and like, she's like from Los Angeles, or she went to school in Los Angeles, and I was like, dude, this is like my first art show I'm trying to put on, and it's probably gonna suck, so I don't want to misrepresent her. So like, I wrote in the email like, hey, sorry, like, I don't want to misrepresent your artwork, so no this time, but like maybe in the future, like if this goes well or something. But
that's gonna be the nicest rejection ever.
But she still came, and that was awesome, and then we met there.
Yeah, I figured it was short notice too, but I really liked the flyer, and Taro had like designed and made the flyer, so it was a really cute show. Definitely, like, nothing, there was no price list, there was no titles or sizes of the pieces, you know, like how we still like to do things.
We turned our bookshelves backwards and then like hung the artwork.
That was the art wall.
Then
it was very DIY space.
We had another show after I had met Brent at our screen printing job, and Brent was like, yeah, I want to put some work in there, and so that's how like all three of us kind of first started like
working
doing
together,
shows together.
Yeah, we were all interested, you know, like, similarly, and I guess all of us kind of did, we all did printmaking to a degree. Illustration based type things, and immediately I think we gravitated towards each other's artwork for sure, and like similar interests. I think we were all into anime, anime people still are.
Yeah, printmaking together at the shop y'all worked at was really fun.
That was really tight because, like, at that time, like, I don't know if it's the case right now, but, like, they kind of let us just do whatever the heck we wanted to after
what was it
hours after hours we could do whatever we wanted to,
yeah.
And so we would like print posters,
have print nights
posters
and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, have print nights, you know.
Yeah, I think we have fun when we work together, so it kind of fell in easy for us to collaborate on projects. And just when we hang out, a lot of times we'll like brainstorm silly ideas that we would eventually want to see come to life.
Brent has some really good ideas about a food truck type
thing. I don't know if this is radio friendly.
We'll tell y'all about later.
Yeah.
But then, like, yeah, I guess Super Fantasy was like one of the bigger things that we worked on. And like, that was an idea that
The original inception was actually just to make bootleg t-shirts at a bazaar originally. But then we kind of got talking about, I think it brought up ideas about, like, we were thinking about gentrification and like art's place in that process and kind of things that we observed just, you know, seeing things in Dallas kind of evolve and change. And so that was sort of like an underlying kind of abstract idea we had. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, we also kind of wanted to do it kind of originally, like I was saying, like just sell bootleg t-shirts at a bazaar kind of. But we changed, we kind of pivoted the idea after talking about it and brainstorming.
So that project actually went through at a bazaar in Garland. Do you know the name?
It
of that
used
project?
To be called Vicon Village,
oh,
but
yeah, Vicon
it recently
Village.
Changed to Bolsa Bazaar, I think.
I grew up going there.
Yeah.
Vicon
I grew up
Village?
In Garland. Yes.
Yes. Really cool.
It was
cool. Used to be cool.
The other vendors were super psyched about us doing the thing there, because I think like the opening day we got like a crap ton of people to come, and it was
they
just kind
shocked.
Of the opening day. Yeah, they were like, oh man, y'all need to they really psyched us.
They're like, please stay
there.
Yeah. We're like, we're a pop-up.
Yeah. We only can do this for a month.
But the best thing about Super Fantasy Mercado, which like we've seen other people take on projects like this afterward, was sort of the community building within the Dallas artist community. And it was fun seeing, like, you know, we know a lot of little pockets of artists that kind of work together, and then having all of them show or have like small multiples or small accessible work together, that was a really beautiful part of that project.
Yeah, and then it evolved. Remember, that was, we did it at that bazaar, and then we had, was it, I think they talked to you first, but it was, yeah, it was Daryl Ratcliffe and Carol Zoe approached us, like, because it was very in line kind of with things that they were thinking about and one of their projects called Decolonize Dallas. And so it kind of evolved even beyond what we were thinking, and we ended up doing a second installation of that at
Redbird
right? Mall, which was also a fun project.
Yeah,
that was
really fun.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
I remember Brennan being in it. And,
Oh, he made an awesome cart.
Oh,
yeah,
that was cool.
Within the pop-up.
Pop-up in a pop-up.
I think what y'all did with that was so great, too, because you brought a lot of people together, and, like, there was a lot of, you know, meeting other artists that you hadn't met before. So, and then, you know, kind of, you know, talking to the people that had the other shops at the mall, I think was really, you know, kind of a like connecting with that community as well.
Yeah, I think everybody at that mall thought we were just kind of weird. It was cool.
Same
like,
with Vicon Village.
Same with Vicon, yeah. Like, just like.
And they, except the Vicons were more weird with us. So
yeah.
Was,
There's weirder people.
Did y'all ever participate in Bulls Farce Fair or the other art fair
at the Belmont Hotel?
Which is now closed.
That's right.
It was called the Sweet Art Fair.
That's right.
And that was organized by Brian Gibb,
That's right.
Yeah, which we had ties to the public trust.
Yeah, that's actually, we all kind of met through that as well.
Yeah, that's a major connection.
Another tie.
Yeah.
Where the a couple of group shows and a lot of projects we did through the public trust.
Okay. That's what I was like, I'm sure I remember that, so I'm glad that I wasn't imagining that.
Yeah, yeah. That was a very interesting setup. Yeah.
And this is all, like, all these things we're bringing up is making you feel like, oh, and this was like the archives, you know, that's like ancient history. Like, I don't even remember what year that was
in. I know, it was back in the day. I know,
but we're definitely making prints and zines and drawings.
Yeah, I think through that, that's what I think when I met Hyde, because I think Hyde.
Yeah, and then Hyde curated you into the Gun and Knife show from that.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was from Artopia.
Oh, Artopia. Good art. Look, we're just hustling in whatever Dallas thing will show us. If y'all ready to show us, we're ready to show. Yes. So.
Were any of y'all associated with Magnificent Beard?
Mm. Oh, that's our friend.
Yeah, we're friends with them. Yeah, okay. That was through the poster screen printing community. We met Matt Brinker and Connor Hill. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like Magnificent Beard, Taro Brandt, and Fabio. And am I leaving anybody out? They're like the Milky Boys crew. And David, I guess I kind of enjoy it. David and Tom. I kind of also medium claim that.
I guess talking about.
My objection from the beginning.
Yeah, I think over the years too, like with collaborating and all that, like I guess Taro's, like we always come up with, like I guess this artist collective, like just come up with names of groups just to make logos for t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's the most fun part is making the branding. Yeah.
It's like, well, like it's kind of like, you know, the more I learned about like sigil magic and stuff, like that's such. Your logo is your sigil, you know, like that's your spell. And then, you know, some of our spells have worked.
Sweatpants Club.
Oh, yeah, Sweatpants Club. Yeah. Dude, that was ahead of its time. Like, now everybody is wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, that's true.
And now everybody, I think, kind of stopped wearing it. It went up and down.
So talk about, before we... started recording, Milan, you mentioned the title of the show. Can y'all talk about the title that opens, by the way, May 13th?
Oh, do we have a fourth guest?
That was oh.
I don't think we had a bio. Did we get a bio for the fourth guest?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're gonna need to sign some September 22nd
on the cusp. She's a Virgo Libra, y'all.
Yes,
the last day of Virgo season. So she joined our club.
Yes.
Yeah. Virgos be Virgin.
Yeah.
It's Miss Miu.
Miu San Itzel Wynn Wagner.
We gave her a lot of names. Yeah. Our baby girl is here to also moderate what we're saying.
Well, after y'all talk about Just an Illusion, I'm going to have to ask y'all a question referring to Miu. But go ahead.
I feel like Taro should read the quote, because it was, we really chose the quote more based on the series Taro showing of a new work.
Yeah, so the series that I put together for this show is I made ceramic wall hangings of all the Jordan shoe styles that have come out so far. So like 37 of
tile
pieces. Yeah, tile pieces, and then I did the Travis Scott ones too, just because I like them. But the quote, from
that we use for the show. The Travis Scott ones too.
The quote that we used for the show title is "Never say never, because limits, like fears, are often just an illusion." So we used the just an illusion part. Because it kind of works with all of our work, I think. And
I haven't reflected on that yet, but
we kind of texted Brian. We're like, "What do you think about this?"
I was like, "It sounds cool."
I think it helps that y'all are very agreeable with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, have there been any tense times?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah. I think we never
I do like to imitate Brent's voice a lot. I'm glad he doesn't get mad about it.
It's pretty funny.
It's part of the fun.
What about when you're like, it's really late and you're trying to finish install, like when y'all were working on the Mercado at Redbird? I know y'all were there a lot.
I feel like Virgos be Virgin and Tauruses be stubborn. Yeah. So I'm a Libra and will be indecisive. So I like to just sit back and watch, you know, the fun sometimes with install. It's like Tara wants it a certain way. Brent wants it a certain way. This can happen when we're like doing the branding stuff too. But they always find a good way to talk about what they want and to make it look good.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So
our tastes are very similar.
So there's a discussion, but not like a tense.
No, I don't think
so. No, it's not tense. It's more just like. It's like, Brent will be like.
So y'all can see that, but there was a side eye.
Brent will be like, nah, it needs to look like this. let me work on it. Let me work on it one night. I was like, just give it to Brent to work on for one night.
We have a lot of trust in each other, like, as far as like we know it's gonna look good.
Yeah,
one of us.
We know he doesn't like it if he wants to take it over on his own for a little bit. But then it's never like too far from what we thought or what we wanted.
Yeah, we mostly just have adventures. not arguments, just
Well,
again, nice way to
No,
put
no, stuff. I don't want to. Talk
We don't have arguments. We have adventures.
They both start with A.
Yeah,
I recall almost getting arrested in Japan.
Oh, that's right.
We can tell that story.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I guess
adventures with the police.
It was tense, I guess, for Taro. I don't know. We were all drunk.
Is it okay if I tell the story?
Sure, yeah.
I guess not that bad. It's more like just American, I feel like. So I taught English in Japan. Right after me and Milan got married, we moved over there for a few years. And eight people or six? Six of our friends came over at once in our like small like apartment.
Like one bedroom studio apartment.
And I think like I had just ended work and like it was gonna be like a little break, so I could hang with my boys and like
this was our mid-20s, like for reference.
Yeah.
And gotcha.
I think I wasn't feeling that good, so I was like, I'm just gonna go to sleep early, but I know all my friends are coming in later, and so like I was sleeping. And then I awoke to like Connor's wife, Mallory, who's about to have a baby. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Another baby. That's
like I don't think you'd met her yet.
I hadn't.
Ever.
Yeah, I hadn't actually met her yet. I had only heard about her. God. And she said, can I do her voice? Taro, I haven't met you before, but I think we might be getting arrested. And so. What? Basically, everybody had gone up to the roof of our apartment and started drinking, because it had a really nice roof to like hang out on. And I think people were being loud, and in Japan, like people get kind of really mad about stuff like that.
It was probably pretty late, and we're like walking around on the roof.
Yeah,
and you're being a little obnoxious, I think.
Some dude called the cops, and then while they were waiting on the cops to come, he was like. Yelling about like I know you have beer up there. And then, but I mean in the end it worked out because we just pretended we didn't speak any Japanese, and that's how you get away with a lot of stuff in Japan actually.
Oh, wow. Hot tips. Yeah.
Just like,
they wrote all of our names down in a small steno pad. Yeah. I don't know where that went. And they're like, what's your name and address? And they just wrote it on a little notepad.
And then Milan super charmed the policeman, I remember.
I was super drunk. I don't know how you did it. I was probably the one that got us in the most trouble.
You are you listening?
Yeah. Close your ears, Mew. Close your ears. Don't log that one in the memory bank.
It would be cool to see that sheet of paper with all of y'all's.
Yeah. You know, like disorderly conduct for peeing off the roof.
Milk Boys log in Japan.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Any other stories from Japan that stick out?
We haven't been back in a long time. Brent's been more times than
visiting stuff, but no, I didn't only got almost arrested that one time. That's it. Yeah.
The rest of them were good. I mean, we climbed Mount Fuji together.
Oh, that was awesome and hard, but
that's pretty.
I think we were all unprepared.
A testament to our,
I don't know if we could do it now.
Ambitiousness at the time.
Not having worked out at all.
Yeah, we were not prepared. We just were like, I guess we're going to climb.
There was like grandpas and little kids doing it though.
Yeah.
And they were even like, I feel like they were lapping us then because we were like just getting drunk and running around that whole trip.
I think we were drinking the whole way up.
Yeah. I remember there was a toast with a balls drinks.
Oh,
was
Zima.
It there?
Zima.
Oh, no, Zima. It was Zima.
They're still, yeah. still sold. Yeah, Zima in Japan.
Zima's in Mount Fuji. Yeah. Zima. And I can imagine if y'all are in elevated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It hits harder. Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, definitely adventurous. Yeah. How did y'all feel afterwards?
It was tiring.
I was beat after that. I feel like we were cold. We were somewhere.
Yeah. We were not prepared at all.
We were in our mid-20s.
You were in your 20s,
like, like we could handle it.
We didn't know what it was going to be, and then we just did it.
Yeah.
I think some of us, it was like the evening one where you go up and see the sunrise.
Yeah.
My sister and my cousin were there too. And it was just like, I think one of us did not bring a jacket. Yeah. It was like,
oh no.
Yeah, that was the worst.
It was very underprepared.
Yeah, that's wild. Some of my friends like trained before they went over there
That's the best way to do it.
You should do that. Yeah.
You should train. You should take water.
Oh yeah, we kept like
not Zima. Stay hydrated. Yeah.
To be fair, Zima looks like water, right?
Probably some hiking socks and boots could be good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had like Chucks or something.
Check out like that weather Chucks. App. Yeah. But that was an amazing sunrise.
It was nice.
I'll always remember that view.
It was beautiful.
The colors, they're still influencing my art to this day.
So maybe we should talk about the art some more too. So what should we expect? I know, Tara, you talked a little bit about your installation. What should we expect from you all for this show?
I have some newer work, mostly screen printed paintings that I've been making recently. Kind of like my maximalist kind of collage works. Varying sizes. This one's a work that I've made over the past, I guess, since like right when like 2020. A lot of the work I've been working on will be what I'm showing.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about, you have a very distinct color palette too that you use. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's sort of like ever evolving, I guess, a lot with kind of my maximalist approach with imagery. I think in the same way I treat color, where it's almost kind of like I'm trying to like it's make it as dense as possible. Mm-hmm. And so I think I just it evolves over time, where I'm like I'll find like a color harmony I like, and then kind of evolve that for a while, and then and then that might change just a tad bit. So they kind of all kind of flow together.
Mm-hmm. When I think about your work, even if it's not in front of me, I can picture it, you know, because I'm familiar with it. But I think about your work, there's so much visual information, which I think makes, you know, it really dynamic, but also kind of holds your eye for a really long time, because you're seeing all these things and there's all these layers and there's kind of things behind. There's, you know, objects, imagery behind other, you know, elements, shapes. And Andrea has coordinated this free comic book day, which is tomorrow. We were talking about the movie that we're also screening with that.
Ghost in the Shell,
and talking about the background of that anime and how it's detailed. Very detailed and dense. And so talking about that this week and then kind of like putting together those, like, your work.
Definitely a big influence, especially that movie particularly. Yeah. That I watched that a lot growing up, which, you know, I feel like that and like Akira, super, super like hyper detailed backgrounds, like where, you know, I think that there's like, I think there's even like, I want to say there's like a little in Akira, there's like a little Easter egg I heard about where like they demanded such detailed backgrounds, like the artists were kind of like, there's like one scene, I think a frame where like one of the artists writes in like, why do we have to put too much detail on, like, where... And I was like, wow, that's
on the spine of a book or something.
Yeah, it's like you would have never seen it, you know, but it's there because that's how detailed it is. Yeah. But definitely.
Now everyone's going to go find it.
Yeah. Yeah, Google that. I'm pretty sure that's true. But yeah, definitely that's my kind of the evolution of my artwork, generally speaking. It's, I think over the years, it will get just denser and denser because it's like this ever evolving kind of like the concept, I think. When I had a long time ago when I was learning printmaking, is just like I was always on, I think I still have an account on Tumblr, but it's like the infinite scroll where it's like it doesn't, the scroll bar doesn't stop, it just like will keep going, and I use like a never ending barrage of sensory like images and color and all that. So kind of trying to embody that as much as I can in my artwork.
I feel like talking about Tumblr makes me think of like the image collecting and the image bank ness as like a process in your work that I, you know, until I saw your work and started to understand how you make it, it was like it's really impressive to me, this sort of unseen process of collecting before you arrange the images and make the final line work for your pieces. It must be crazy to always be like, oh, I can use this for later. I can use this for later.
And, yeah, it's just
and
like
keeping reference. It, you know.
Yeah, I've had the same. I've had a couple zines and stuff, like studies that I've done. Kind of, I titled the process Image Atlas is what I call it. It's like kind of the, I guess, repository of my reference images, photos, and things like that that I kind of call back to. And it's just like this pretty much never ending process, like that I started in college, actually. I still have, it's like literally the same folder on my computer that it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Do you still use like assets that like you created back?
Yeah, I do.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, hopefully I got to back that up, you know, put it in the cloud because.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you better save that. Back it up.
That's a large hard drive.
Yeah.
A lot of memory,
yeah. And memories.
Well, we brought up Ghost in the Shell and Akira. Are there any other manga or anime films or just films in general that any of y'all want to highlight that were main influences or heavy influences on your work?
Probably FLCL is another huge one. I mean, that's a little bit older now as well. I'm a lot older now. there's a manga out right now, and there's actually, it's like a Netflix show as well, but it's called Dorahedoro, and it's the mangaka is called like Q Hashida, I think. Mm-hmm. But like that has certainly influenced me a lot lately. It's like, it's really funny, and I don't know, it has like kind of a more like rougher sensibility about it, or like drawing style. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of really taken to that. I mean, other than that, I do actually, I don't watch sports, but I do really like sports manga and sports anime. So Slam Dunk, of course, is like
basketball,
one of the best ones. Yeah. And Hajime no Ippo is a boxing one that's really good.
I feel like most of our references are probably yeah, like 90s anime. Yeah. Like yeah. I mean, even though we still watch anime now and watch because for me, I feel like as far as what we're talking about, the Ghibli movies.
Yeah.
All the Ghibli movies are like, and I think a lot of people who do illustration art who reference that Japanese animation style, I think it's influenced a lot of different people because you see this stylized work and it makes you want to draw. And it also has those amazing backgrounds and just beautiful figurative work, and the animation does a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot with motion that what I think was really innovative at the time, or at least in America, you didn't see animation that was so fluid and mm-hmm. so also detailed like that. Mm-hmm.
Tekkon.
Tekkon
Kinkri.
Matsumoto Taiyo's work, yeah. I really love so much. And they also animated one called Tekkon Kinkri. And that was like actually directed by like an American director, I think.
I think so, yeah.
But that person's stylized illustration, I like all their manga too. It's just, it's more sketchy and playful and like mm-hmm. extra stylized.
So what's your favorite manga? Or do you have?
I would probably say the Matsumoto Taiyo stuff, and also the I'm so bad because I don't have it like written out yeah. like the names of these artists, but the artist that wrote Children of the Sea.
Daisuke Igarashi.
Yes, we have like the the reference bank over here, but yes, Daisuke Igarashi is like, all their illustration style is so they reference nature a lot, mm-hmm. and it has such a calm sensibility to it, and also like I feel like their work, it gives a sense of that interconnectedness that, you know, people and, you know, stuff in the world, we're all a part of each other.
Your work does that too.
And that mm-hmm. is really an influence mm-hmm. to yes. me a lot.
Yeah.
I like things that play with those themes. Mm-hmm. So also when I was in undergrad at Otis, when in my time in LA, there was just so much showing of sort of that pop art, Japanese pop art culture mm-hmm. movement, which mm-hmm. like a lot I got to see stuff in person, like a big Murakami retrospective and Yoshitomo Nara's work and yes. Aya Takano's work, because Blum and Poe was showing a lot of artists mm-hmm. During the time that I was there, and I think that work was really influential to me in trying to develop an illustration style.
And didn't Giant Robot start
Giant
there
Robot
too?
Yeah. Giant Robot also, like, I am obsessed with all the artists that yes. they show, and that gallery and the curator, Eric Nakamura, mm-hmm. just does a beautiful job in supporting a lot of early career artists that are out there. And then, you know, they have their roster of yeah. ones that are not, you know, ones that are already like well into their career yeah. too. But mm-hmm. but it was also really influential to get to be in group shows there and to see the work that they were curating there, because it's just so good and it's so focused on illustration. It's so, a lot of it is so playful and touching. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big influence in the kind of work that I like to make. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I often miss that, and I think about like, well, why doesn't anybody have like a illustration focused mm-hmm. gallery in mm. Dallas?
Yeah, why do they? Maybe we need to make that happen somehow.
There's a lot of
our really stint with good. Curating at the Safe Room made me realize we're artists and we know art people. We don't know collectors. But I mean, as far as if we were to branch yeah. out to do something like that.
It's a skill, I think, the selling of it, for sure.
It has to be the right person that has those connections, the right place and the right eye, mm-hmm. Especially to sustain it for a long time, because we've seen galleries come and go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the...
Yeah.
Whatever. How long do you think we've been making art? I mean, 20 here, plus years? I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, we've known each other for at least 13, 14 years.
So about that long.
Well, that leads me to ask about you relatively recently got your MFA.
Mm.
And speaking about, you know, how long you've been making work, why did you decide to go ahead and pursue the MFA, and how do you think it's added to or advanced, or what has it done to your work?
So for me, my undergrad was a focus in illustration, and since then, I've kept making paintings and drawings, and printmaking was part of what I learned at Otis too. But it wasn't until later, and I'm one of those artists that does a lot of different mediums, like goes, I was talking with Annalise Minjares during the MFA, I forgot what artist she said was talking about this, but it stuck with me thinking about how jumping around between a lot of mediums, and they were talking about it as like artistic medium promiscuity or something like that. And you kind of get guilty, like, oh my god, I've been doing like so much ceramics lately, and I haven't been painting. I've been like being bad, like the paintings are getting jealous. So I was doing a lot of drawing and painting and installation work in kind of these haphazard, like fort building sort of ways that were just sort of intuitive. Nothing like, I never learned woodworking or like architecture to make these things. But within wanting to translate, it was more about wanting to translate the feeling of the drawings into an environment that people could walk into, mm-hmm. or objects they could hold. And within wanting to create that transfer, I got into ceramics. And in my mind, ceramics is one of those mediums that, and I guess, you know, painting can be like this too, or any artistic medium can be like this, but ceramics especially, it's just this black hole of information and material knowledge and technique knowledge And then there's also everyone's hand will have its own approach and feeling and look and touch with ceramics. So when I got into ceramics, I learned, you know, a little bit in the community colleges here at Mountain View and a little bit at Brooke Harvard. And from there, when we went to Japan, I kept wanting to learn because Japan is so famous for having that rich history in ceramics. So it was in spending time learning in Japan and wanting to further that knowledge that I thought, well, why don't I get my MFA in ceramics? And at that time, Annalise, who I was taking classes with at Brookhaven in ceramics, was thinking about applying to MFA programs. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could, you know, be in the same program? And yeah, so I was thinking about getting a post bac, like taking a year to kind of tech and build more ceramic knowledge. And I approached SMU with trying to do that. And they said, why are you going to waste a year doing a postdoc? Why don't you just apply for the MFA program and see? And so it was under the encouragement of Brian Malampi, who heads their ceramic department, and Sofia Bastidas, and also knowing that Annalise was going to be there, which is just like an amazing artist and good energy, that I decided to apply and I got in. And yeah, it was, you know, MFA experience at Sailor Moon University. Just kidding, Southern Methodist University.
Oh, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. And so I kind of wanted to refine skills with ceramics. And I also, you know, when you're doing work for a while, and a lot of my work was a crossover between, you know, fine art and more commercial illustration or communication arts art. So taking some time to refine that fine art practice, which I think grad school does that for a lot of people. It gives you a time to like whittle down your thoughts and find a little bit more of a focus. Mm-hmm. So I think it definitely did that for me. Yeah.
Well, and we talked a little bit about like researching spiritual practices and things like that. So were you, before you started the MFA program, were you doing, would you call your work research-based or?
I think I've always been interested in stuff, and that would lead me to like watching things or reading things, and then that would go into the practice. But I don't think I approached the research as with as much intention of being part of the practice until the MFA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now I think I think about it more as part of it, and I look at things more and read things more with the focus on what I'm gonna make. Yeah, it makes me think about research and materials a lot more. Whereas before it was just like, oh, whatever I can get my hands on to make something. And now I think it's like, oh, well, a lot of the materials that we use carry meaning or intention, and how we choose to make with these things, you know, it can change the meaning of the work for different people who are reading into it.
Well, and Taro, you and I are in a show together. We can cut this out if necessary because I'm mentioning another podcast. Artists Talk Movies. And looking at those particular pieces and also reflecting on what's getting ready to be in Just an Illusion as well, and some of the things you've mentioned, hip hop seems to be an influence in your work. You want to talk about some of your favorite hip hop artists and 50 years of hip hop this year? Woo!
Let's see. I mean, I guess I really, it's weird. So like music back in the day, I feel like you had like rock people, you had like hip hop people. It was like all segmented and there wasn't very much crossover. And then we had the wonderful crossover or fusion of rock and hip hop with nu metal.
Linkin Park. But yeah.
That, I feel like that's probably what first got me into, like, I guess, like, hip-hop and stuff like that, was, like, the same friend that was showing me, like, Korn and, like, Marilyn Manson and stuff like that, also showed me, like, NWA, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. And then a lot of wrestlers that I was into. So I grew up in Virginia until I was like 10 years old. So they had a wrestling league called ECW, and there was a wrestler named New Jack that would come out to Natural Born Killers, which, like, I remember it was before, you know, kids nowadays are spoiled with like Shazam and stuff like that. Even Shazam's like probably like an old man's tool. But like, so like I was like, oh my god, what is that song? And you know, it was Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, and like I remember the specific show that I was watching at the time, he was wearing a Mystikal like shirt on, and I was like, oh, it must be Mystikal that like that wraps that. And so like I remember going to like CD warehouse and stuff and being like, okay, let me find a Mystikal album. And I listened to it, I'm like, that song's not on it. And then like, but like doing stuff like that, like you start learning more and more music, you know, and it was a lot tougher back then. But if I was gonna say like all-time favorite, still, like I could still put it on, would be Mos Def's first two albums. Mm-hmm. And then Cannibal Ox was another one that I really liked back in the day. Ooh, which like tough. Like sometimes it's a Cannibal Ox day and I'll play it, you know, but like it kind of didn't get the next album took a long time to come out and I wasn't really impressed with it, but that's another story. But yeah, I mean.
But you loved it so much that you tried making beats and rapping.
Oh no! You're gonna call him out on the
click.
Bringing out embarrassing stories.
I guess so. Yeah. So I did have.
Can you play it?
did put my hand into adding to the, what's it called, dialogue. Artwork. Yeah, so I also started really getting into Miami bass music, and so like Two Live Crew, Uncle Luke. I had a like Miami bass type group, and then before that, I actually had a Christian.
You're not gonna shout out the name.
Oh, it was called Click Clack.
And the logo was this?
It was the Chanel logo. Yeah.
Love, thank you. Thank you for excavating and getting all this stuff out for us.
Shout out Click Clack. I don't know if you can still find it on MySpace.
Yeah, it was MySpace. You might be able to find it on MySpace. If not, I have a CD.
Say less.
I have a CD of it still. But yeah, I met a lot of great friends doing that. That was like before really focusing on visual art was my main passion. And then like, oh yeah, then College Dropout came out right when I was in college, mm-hmm. and I was like,
"I should drop out."
Yeah, I was, every day I was like, "I don't need this." Like, I would stay up till like 2 or 3, like making beats. Yeah. And they sound like trash, probably like, till now. But like, I was like, "Yeah, Kanye West did it."
Rest in peace to Kanye West.
But yeah, before Click Clack, I had a Christian hip hop group too, which was my friend Brandon. And through that, I met, there's a guy named Dustin Cavazos, I think is his last name.
Cavazos.
Cavazos, okay, yeah, Cavazos, yeah. And I remember like being at him and his friend Josh, who ran Atama. Mm-hmm. Being at their apartment and like hearing Dustin's beats, and I was like, oh man, I'm not gonna be like Kanye. Where's Dustin's like,
I was like, Dustin gave you a reality check.
I was like, I better just keep studying.
Yeah. Dustin saved your college career. Right? Yeah. And economics.
Thanks to Dustin. yeah. I stayed in college, got that economics degree, and then went to work at a screen printer.
That makes sense. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, wow. Well, Brent, I mean, I think I have a little bit of each of your work, but Eric and I, we purchased one of your prints when you had the show at Texas Theater. In the before times.
Oh, safe room.
And yes. Yeah. The safe room. And it's hanging in our dining room, and I always just am mesmerized by it and love it. And you already talked a little bit about 90s anime and manga being an influence. Did you want to talk about any other influences, music, other films, books, anything?
I'm kind of like, I think kind of what I I'm influenced by everything, I feel. Yeah. Like I think that's kind of like the impetus, the core idea of like the artwork, is that it's like just everything influences me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have so many interests. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, I know. everything.
I think that's overwhelming question. You can see that in the work,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But definitely a big interest in I guess just most things like Japanese pop culture have always interested me from a really young age, just via, you know, their cultural exports, like video games and comics and stuff like that. It's always like, I grew up like just taking it all in, but yeah, definitely I guess maybe like Japanese cinema, I watch a lot of that pretty often.
So you never rapped?
I never had a rap career. That's a new endeavor that I've tried to practice, DJing under this moniker I've made called Oliver Garden. My kind of alter
breadsticks out,
my alter ego. Yeah, I made a logo for it and everything. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, kind of like what Tara Milan are saying, I have like a lot of hobbies I kind of bounce back and forth from, just like yeah. But yeah, definitely as far as my artwork goes, like just my memories, and like I have a lot, like I reference pretty much everything in my life, really, just that I come through, like movies, video games, all kinds of media that I'm just saturated with.
Can you give us a hint as to what your Meow Wolf installation
is? Oh, yeah. I just actually recently finished that. yeah, it was like really great working with them, but it's essentially kind of in the same realm of kind of my artwork, just kind of a sprawling, dreamlike kind of imagery that kind of goes hand in hand with like their immersive installations. But yeah, that was really great working with them. Kind of a, like, it was a long process. I guess I got in touch with them, I think like over a year ago, and kind of been corresponding with them back and forth, and kind of started the installation process about, I guess I started about a month ago, a couple mm-hmm. months ago. And yeah, I went up there and yeah, worked on that with them, and it was a really great experience, and I'm excited for it to open soon. It should be opening here, I think, this summer. Yeah, so
yeah,
it's coming up.
Yeah, we right. keep hearing the summer. Yes. The summer.
Seeing Brent's imagery and process has been really interesting, mm-hmm. like as an outside viewer, mm-hmm. like how seeing that change and evolve and take on different forms. Like, I feel like when we first met, a lot of it was all screen printed. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. now there's process where there's like a key line printed and then hand painting done and then a line, like a, I don't know what you, like a overline or like the line works screen printed on after, so that gives it like that really flat mm-hmm. look, and the paint is like specifically like flat paint, right?
Yeah, that was a new process that I, you know, just to get kind of a little bit of a tactile feel too, with the surface.
And then seeing that like transfer to like the mural you did in West Dallas and like, cause I know you did some installation work. And back in the day, that was like a wheat paste.
Oh, right.
So it was like more immersive, but it was also all screen printed to see that to your collaboration with Stephanie for the West Dallas thing, and now this other mural type of thing. It's like, wow, I get to see your work change from like mainly just printmaking to this like printmaking, painting, hybrid, and from scale, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's like kind of the same train of thought, but just, learning new things.
Yeah. I think it's good to see the work evolve and take on different forms and sizes, and I don't know if it's like a personality type or whatever, but I really love when you can't exactly clock what or how something was made, and you're like, what materials is this? How is this happening? Or like, I think there's a lot of most artists process that is hidden. And I feel like that goes kind of along with the title too. It's like,
yeah,
like it just looks like this finished piece, but you wouldn't know the steps until, you know, either you're doing art and so you start getting like a read for different materials and processes and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I like thinking about that kind of like pulling back the curtain between like, nobody would, if I didn't know Brent, I wouldn't know how he's made the works that I've seen him make. And I think it's like that with all artists is like, that's why people are interested in those like studio tours or like process showing videos, I think, is because there's so much hidden in the making of a work. There's so much hidden time and knowledge and labor when it comes to making art, and you just see the piece and some people like take time to analyze what it means or just enjoy what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm like a process and materials nerd where that's to me, that's what I like to like check out and focus on and think about.
I think any artist that works in multiple materials that's kind of like those go hand in hand, right? Like if you work in a lot of different mediums, you're interested in the process and the different materials, and what they do and what they look like when they're finished.
How they can interact together, yeah. how they can like add or take away to make something new or kind of like, I don't know, surprising or mysterious.
Mm-hmm. So have y'all been looking forward to this collaboration for the exhibition and install weeks next week?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Amu, definitely. Are you going to help?
Yes.
She'll help.
Artist assistant.
She'll help Taro paint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the Rizzo workshop. That's exciting,
that's
too.
That's on May 27th, right? May
27th. Yeah,
27th.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
12 to 2.
Yeah.
And I have always wanted to participate in that workshop, so I'm so excited. I work here now, and it's going to be happening when I'm here.
Your work is going to look really cool. Yeah, translate very well.
Yeah, but for people who don't know the Rizzles, the printmaking process, that's it's kind of like blending screen printing and this Japanese copy machine called the Rizograph printer, and you use layer separation and color overlaying to create these awesome prints that have kind of like a handmade feel and a Xerox type output.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so participants are going to get to make some Rizzo prints.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So, I think what we'll have is people make like a collaborative 11x17 print in a couple groups, and then you can cut it down into individual small prints.
Oh, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I've also always wanted to. I remember, Milan, when we did a studio visit and you had the Rizzo graph in your studio and you kind of showed me some things that y'all were working on. I think Brent, there was some Brent pieces too. Y'all were working on something at the time. And it's such a cute little, it's like a mini copy machine. Mm-hmm. Yes. What it reminds me of. So I'm excited because I know when y'all did the last workshop with when y'all did the Zine Fest.
Oh, a tractor beam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wanting to go to that, but I was here working at OC3. So now that we got y'all here, we get to participate. Nice.
I was going to mention when Andrea said that she had been wanting to participate. I think that's what's really cool about having people that are just very art-centric and involved in the arts. It's if we see something cool or if we hear about something, but we can't go because we're here, just bring them here. Yes.
That's the plan the whole time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we're always really excited when opportunities like that arise. Like with the Zine Fest tractor beam collaboration of having us there like a residency. Mm-hmm. And this will be like a little mini residency. And I think the bathhouse is offering to do something like that too. Mm-hmm. But it's just so exciting for us to offer that process and that knowledge to community for free. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I feel like that's how I got in, a lot of how I got into making art is my mom would take us when we were kids to like these kind of after school programs or like the library is doing a free this or the community centers are doing a free that. So I hope people are getting, you know, word of it and bringing kids or, you know, bringing people who have interest to learn.
I think that's the other, like the other really cool thing about all of the things, like not to toot our own horn, but to toot our own horn. Like we do a lot of really cool stuff, but I think because we, you know, we have kind of a history of working with artists that are either, you know, really innovative or doing something a little bit different, or maybe like we had talked to someone a couple of weeks ago and he was like, you don't know me and this might sound a little weird and crazy. And I was like, that's all you had to say because you got my attention now. But honestly, I feel like we're really open and we do a lot of really cool stuff because, you know, I couldn't have come up with some of these ideas, right? But really creative people walk in here, and if we can kind of provide a platform that says, that sounds like a good idea, what can we do to make it happen? And then open it to a community so that people can come out And, you know, we've done a ton of stuff with Milan over the years. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember you rolled up here on a bike with the umbrella and did, like, the art kits and stuff. Yeah. You know, and so over the years, it's been really cool stuff that has happened. And it's nice to see that start to happen in other parts of Dallas. But I think it's really cool to say that y'all are really talented artists, but y'all also have your like, mind in the community where it's accessible and people can actually, you know, get to know you and get to know your work. So thank you for that.
Yes, yep. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're super excited. The show opens on Saturday, May 13th. That's also the same day of the Speed Bump, the Oak Cliff Speed Bump Art Tour, mm-hmm. Which we will be on. So yay. You can come during the day and see the show, but also please come to the reception.
Yay!
Oh, can I do a shout out?
Yeah.
I want to shout out Sumi and Justin for really being with me this entire process of making all the work. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't have... made all the shoes, you know, without their help. They've gone above and beyond, like, even me just being like, hey, could y'all help? Like, dude, they've done so much. And then Adam at Glaze Ceramics, Adam Noak, he used to teach at Brookhaven, but now he has a ceramic studio in McKinney called Glaze Ceramics, and he's really, like, busted his butt to... I can't believe I said butt, actually. Busted his butt to, like, to make sure, like, things are getting fired and stuff. He's running a really tight ship over there. And then Brad and Annalise and Plain and Nice Press. We have a studio in East Dallas right now that we're all sharing space. So happy to be sharing space with them. And then I want to shout out Usama, too, because, like, dude, I almost cried listening to your podcast today. And, you know, thanks for the shout outs and mentioning our daughter. And thank you guys for, like, hosting us and showing our work. Like, y'all have, like, major hitters coming through showing work, and I'm just happy to be included with all of that.
Anyone else? Final thoughts or shout outs or
shout outs to Route.
I'll take it. Mew? Anybody?
You gonna close it out, Mew?
Thank you so much for having us. We're so lucky to be here. Please come see my parents' show and buy stuff so they can start a college fund for me.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, if nothing else, I know we could be here for forever because it does, like, mm-hmm. after a while, it starts to feel like we're just hanging out. but thank you all so much for stopping by and talking to us. It's always really nice. You know, one of the really lucky positions that we as a OC3 staff are in is that we get to connect with the artists and really have conversations. So it adds a lot more meaning to the work. And so while we get to see it once it opens and really appreciate it as an audience, and as patrons of the arts, when we get to talk to the artists and really get, like, you know, some details, like, and then go in there and appreciate the work, it adds levels to that. So and it's nice to be able to transfer that kind of information to the listeners. So listeners, if you're out there, and if you haven't stopped by, or I'm messing up the timelines because the show's opening May 13th here at the Oak Cliff Cultural Center, 6 p.m. reception. And if you're listening before May 27th, you still have time to make it to the Rizzo workshop because the workshop is on May 27th at 12 p.m. And if you're listening after May 27th, we're sorry that you missed it. But you still have time to check out the work because it runs through June 9th. So through June 9th, Just an Illusion, Brent, Taro, and Milan have their show here. You're listening to OC3 Frequencies. We are a podcast by the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. We're a division of the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture. And we hope you enjoyed listening to this as much as we enjoyed talking to the artist. If you find us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, make sure you hit that follow, hit a like or two or three. And if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars because we love those 5 stars. This is also available on Spotify and SoundCloud. always, always reach out to us if you have any questions, concerns, or ideas. We love feedback. We hope to see you here for Just an Illusion, the reception, or the run of the show, or the Rizzo workshop. On a final note, where can we find all of you? Because we shouted out OC3 everywhere, but if people said, hey, I heard the podcast, I couldn't make it to the show, but I am still interested in some of the work, where can we find you all?
I've got a website. It's my name, BrentOzeta.com.
Spell it.
OZAETA.com. Or, you know, I post a lot of my current work on my Instagram, which is a Chinese knees spelled out Chinese and then knees like K-N-E-E-S, if you are interested.
I post very infrequently on Instagram, and my handle is at fantasyboytaro. T-A-R-O is my last, my first name.
And I also have a website. It's at, or wait, www.maisonmilan.com. So it's MAISONMYLAN. And that's also my Instagram handle at Maison Milan. And oh yeah, the Rizzo element of what Taro and I do is running under Strange Powers Press. Mm-hmm. And you can find us at Strange Powers Press on Instagram. Yeah, and you probably find me teaching workshops here and there at the libraries and community centers and stuff around Dallas.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. We hope that the listeners can come out to the reception or to the run of show again, May 12th through June 9th, right here at the Oak Cliff Cultural Center for Just an Illusion. And we hope to catch y'all on the next one. On behalf of OC3, bye y'all.
Bye, thank you.
Bye.